This is the day the Lord has made. Let us make a conscious choice to rejoice and to be glad in it. This is Dr. Elona Sanders, your transformation catalyst, and I want to thank you for joining our global empowerment community. We are dedicated to delivering personal empowerment, spiritual empowerment, as well as professional empowerment. You will break free and stay free. Listen now with new ears and an open heart. You will be awakened to who you are in Christ, become divinely aligned with your true purpose, and activate your miracle manifesting power. Thank you again for joining us. Stay tuned for today's empowerment message. Great morning, everyone. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us make a conscious choice to rejoice and to be glad in it. Thank you for connecting with this global empowerment worship community. This is Dr. Elona Sanders, and we are dedicated to delivering personal empowerment, spiritual empowerment, as well as professional empowerment right here in this global worship community. We believe in the words of the Christ, the Messiah. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. But the Christ said, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Good morning, great morning. We are activating that spiritual principle here that says we are prospering even as our soul prospers. 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you will be in health and prosper even as your soul prosper. I want to give a shout out to my supporters this week. Thank you so much, Miss Betty Harrington. And for those that counted not robbery to sow your seeds and your tithes and your offering, we're so grateful that you are here today. So with that being said, let's bring our hearts and mind together. Let's take a good healing deep breath in. And on the exhale, we bring ourselves present right here, right now, to the sacred moment. And we sit in this sacred moment knowing that all things are working together and fitting into a plan for good because we love God and we're called according to his purpose. Next healing deep breath in. And on the exhale, as we sit in this sacred moment, let's turn our heart, our attention, and our focus inward. And let's just bask in this gratitude that we have this rich inner life, knowing that it is a deep, vast river of infinite power and potential, and it belongs to you. Let's breathe that in today. Yes, all this power and authority and ability and potential and miracle power, it belongs to you. Breathe that in again. And on the exhale, come on, let's stir and activate the presence of the Holy Spirit this morning that will lead us and guide us into all truth. And we are open to allowing all of our good to flow through us today. And we're so thankful and so grateful for this community, for being able to come together and to touch each other and connect, knowing that we are being built up and we are being strengthened as we connect. Just because we showed up today, we're like that pebble that is being thrown into the pond that has a ripple effect, that what we are gaining here will continue to multiply, expand, and increase. And it is so. Let's take one more good healing deep breath in. And on that exhale, I am so grateful today to be here. And I'm not just saying that. I'm so grateful. So thankful for this opportunity for us to gather together today. Well, I have so much that I want to lay down today. I am so excited every time I come to this community and come to this platform, because I know something's going to be released, it's going to be downloaded, that's going to have an impact in our lives and cause us to live bigger, richer, and fuller lives. And so we're going to dive into some deep waters today, and I'm going to lay down several scriptures. And the first one that I want to lay down, and then we're going to go into our lesson today, comes from the writer of Isaiah in chapter number 54. And I'm going to read the first few verses there that says, "Sing, O barren one, you who did not bear. Break forth into singing. Cry aloud, you that did not travail with child. For the spiritual children of the desolate one will be more than the children of the married wife, says the Lord. Enlarge your place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Spare not, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread abroad to the right hand and to the left, and your offsprings will possess the nations and make desolate the cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for you shall not be ashamed, neither be confounded and depressed, for you shall not be put to shame. For you shall forget the shame of your youth, and you shall not seriously remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore." And I want to just lay that down right there. And I just want to encourage you today to really get ready for expansion. Let's get ready for expansion. Let's get ready to increase. I said this on last week, and I will say it over and over and over again, that you cannot stop believing in you and your ability and your power to bring change and to allow change to happen in your week. But we're just going to become very strategic about how we're doing that. So this writer in Isaiah says for you to get ready to lengthen your cords, get ready to stretch forth on the right hand and on the left. And it starts, you know it, everything starts within. And it starts with your worldview and your world perception. And what I want to encourage you to do right here is to start expanding your worldview and expanding your consciousness of who you are in this world. As I was meditating on this and just pondering how vast and how many layers we have operating in this earth realm, and then you have to locate yourself. In other words, if we just look at it in a class aspect, and you know we have the very, very poor, those that are in serious abject poverty. And then we have the working poor. Then we have what we call lower class, middle class, upper middle class. Then we have those that we call the rich and the super rich. And then we have the billionaires club. So when you think about in classes like this, I want you to take a moment and I want you to go with me and let your imagination run here for a moment. I often say this: there are as many ways to believe as there are people alive. And you know the famous saying, if you believe you can, you can. If you believe you can't, then you can't. Whatever you believe is going to lead. When you begin to look at the world and look at all these different layers of people, how they operate, and for those of you that dig a little deeper and you understand some things maybe about a class group, the super rich, the elite, the powerful, some call it the Illuminati, and different groups like that, people who are in power, who they say have traced power all the way back to certain families, all the way back into the British Empire, if you will, and how these people are struggling to stay in power because they want to control everything. So if you just go with me for a moment, we're going somewhere. When you think about that class of people, and then let your mind for a moment think about this world, that we have a huge world. We have countries and continents and people spread out all over. And then there's a select group of people that want to be in control of all of that. Now, the reason why I'm going this way is because I felt led in my spirit to talk to us about expanding our position and our place in the world and not to be afraid to do that. So when you think about the very elite class that wants to be in control, pulling all the strings. Now, just stay with me. I'm talking about in this physical dimension right now. And then I want to see how we have been uniquely positioned. So you have that class of people that wants to pull the strings and control everything. And then you have, that's the elite class. Then let's just come down to the super rich. And that's people that you may know, like the Bill Gates, the Oprah Winfrey's, the Beyonce, the Jay-Z's, people that you know that are worth hundreds of millions of dollars, even billions of dollars in the power and the influence and the attention that they command all over the world, right? And so you think about that class of people, and then you come down to your rich people, people that you know that are living pretty well, maybe in, you know, $1 million homes, $500,000 home. They live in the best section of your community. They may be your doctors, your lawyers, your judges, your professional entrepreneurs. And you think about the lifestyle that they live, that their checking account has a positive balance at all times, and they're not stressed about money, and they're not worried about how they're going to make ends meet. And you think about the influence and the attention that group commands, right? And then you keep going down to your middle class that's living reasonably well. These are your people that's making six figures and above, or multiple six figures, and they're living pretty comfortably. And think about the influence and the attention they command in this earth realm. I'm going somewhere with that. And when you come all the way down, now I'm speaking particularly now into the religious community, particularly in the Pentecostal Apostolic African American Church community. And you think about how we have been trained to live our lives so small. Now I want you to come, you got to take a deep breath and go with me with this. Take a deep breath and go. Yes. You have to think about how we were trained to keep our worldview and our world influence, not all of us, but a good percentage of us, that we kept our worldview and our world influence so small. If for those of you that can identify with this with me this morning, I want you to think about if you live in a major city like New York, like Detroit, Chicago, you know, even down in Florida, think about your city. And I want you to think about some Pentecostal apostolic church, particularly what we call storefront churches. And how I remember when I was living in Brooklyn, New York years ago, and I walked down Fulton Street. And I said I was just going to count the churches that was on this one street, these little storefront churches. And I walked down the street, and there was over 30 churches on that one street, right? So when you think about that, that we were encouraged to have all these little houses, all these little churches, and we pretty much kept to ourselves in these little churches, right? And our worldview was so small, and we were trained not to even too much fellowship with one another. We was just stayed so isolated. So here we are now in the 21st century, and many of us were raised with that small mindset, stay small, and we focused on scriptures like you're in this world, but you're not of this world. And they trained us to be focused on an event called the rapture, and we lived most of our lives waiting for this event to happen, where we would be snatched up out of our misery and our poverty and our hardships, and you know, and that spilled over, you know, from slavery times. I'm even careful in this day and time, the music that I listen to, the songs that I sing, and I understand our forefathers very well. But you have to know that even in our churches, many of the songs they sang to get release from their stress and their depression, from slavery times, from being enslaved, from carrying a burden on their shoulders. And they would sing songs like Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, you know, coming for to carry me home, different things like that. I'm going home on the morning train. And we know in some aspects they were singing a code, you know, for to run away and to break out of slavery. But my whole point that I want to make this morning and going down this whole line is to encourage you that all these different layers of influence that we have in this earth realm, we have been given so much power and authority, we should not be at the bottom of the barrel. We should not be the ones that's living in the poverty level or the super poverty level or below poverty level. When we're sitting with so much power and authority in us. And I know that it's going to take some work because we have been trained and we have been conditioned to live in such a small way. So why are we talking about get ready for expansion? Because it does nothing for us to sit in our churches and sit in our small groups and complain about what everyone else is doing, but we're too afraid to expand ourselves. So when I say there's as many ways to believe as there are people alive. So as I began to meditate and ponder on this, I began to think about how huge we are in this earth realm, but we're living as little mouse or little kittens. You know the image of the lion that looks in the mirror and he sees a little kitten? And the kitten that looks in the mirror and sees a lion? It's all about our perception, how we feel about our place and our position in this world that's going to create our reality. I want to say that again. It's all about your view of your place and your position in this earth realm that's going to dictate and determine what you're going to be able to manifest or create in this world. So when you think about the way this world functions, and we've been paying a lot of attention to the political arena lately, just learning some things and looking at some things, and we're looking at who's in charge and what's in charge. And I don't know about you, but I kind of woke myself up a little bit because I don't think I've ever fully realized how much a president is in charge of staffing in the United States. Sure, we knew about their cabinet and their administrative people and their, you know, people at the top level. But I did not recognize consciously that the president is responsible for employing and placing thousands of people in key positions that affect how we live from day to day. Now, I want you to go with me because now I want you to think of power and influence even on that level. People that's controlling and pulling the shots, right? Well, thankfully, we live in a democracy, right? And we're supposed to have a voice as people. Even the congressional and Senate that represents us, we're supposed to have a voice. They're supposed to be our voice. But my whole point in even saying that is to say I want you to start looking at how small of a game we have been playing, but we're the ones with the real power, right? It's not going to do us any good to stay in our houses of worship and in our groups and our community and talk to each other about our power, but we don't display that power to the world in a greater way. Now, I'm guilty. I'm going to raise my hand. Right? I'm the first partaker of the fruit, always. I'm going to raise my hand and say, okay, I've been guilty of playing a game too small and too safe. Listen, this is the point I want to make as well. All these people that you're seeing expressing themselves, expressing what they believe in, expressing their creativity, expressing what they believe they've been designed to come here to do, they're doing it in a big way, without shame. And so that's where I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today that whatever you believe you are here to do, whatever you believe your purpose is. Come on, guys, let's take a deep breath. And as one of my coaches in TLC says, let's punch fear in the face and let's just move out, because people are being themselves, good, bad, or indifferent. But we're afraid to step up in a bigger way and have the impact that we are here to have. We must stop talking ourselves out of what it is we know we're here to do. The Chronicle writer in Chronicles 12, 32-33 says, the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren at their command. Of Zebulun, there were 50,000 who went out to battle, expert in war, with all weapons of war, stout-hearted men who can keep rank. This is the time in the season, beloved, where you have to have a discerning spirit, where you understand the times that we're living in, and you know what you ought to do, and you know what your tribe ought to do, your community, or whatever groups you're invested in. It's time to know those people that you have influence over, your family member, your children, your grandchildren. It's time now for us to be wise. And I always love verse 33. It speaks of the tribe of Zebulun. And we have to be of that spirit in this season, where we are expert with our weapons of warfare, where we are expert with our ability to walk out spiritual law. We have to be stout-hearted, honorable, where we can keep rank. In other words, when you think about soldiers marching, we have to keep rank and keep up now, because things are moving. They are growing. And you have to have the faith to know, first of all, that you can discern what time it is. What time it is. One of the greatest challenges I know that you're going to face is disconnecting from yesterday's belief. That's what makes everything so difficult, is that we're so connected and invested in yesterday's belief. You are judging your entire life by where you've been. And that's what we do to keep things making sense to us, that we run reference. Anytime you go to take a step, or you say you desire something or want to create something, immediately your conscious mind start running reference as to where you've been. Now, when I started tapping into the understanding and expanding my consciousness to know that everything works from the inside out, the kingdom of God is within. And within that kingdom is all the power and authority, an infinite amount of power, authority, everything that I need to create my next level is within me. And when I started tapping into that, and I understood that God lives within me, and that there was no difference between the God in me and the God on the throne, I began to notice something. So several years ago, I began to notice that when I focused on a God that was on the throne in heaven only, and all of my prayers were directed that way upward, I noticed something. Now, this may not be you. I'm just telling you what I noticed about me. I noticed that in a lot of times when I was praying, and my mind did two things. Number one, it was always in the past, looking at some incident or some reality that I experienced that I was praying to move out of. That's number one. And the second thing I noticed is that when I focused on a God that was on the throne only and not within me, but just on the throne only, far away in the heavens, I noticed that my prayers took on more of a begging, pleading, please help me, please do it, please work it out, make it happen. And one day I noticed that, and I woke up, and as I began to focus more, knowing that, okay, if the scriptures tell me that God is in me and that we are one. Remember, the Christ prayed. He said, Father, make them one with you, even as we are one. And if I'm one with God, and as he is above, so am I beneath, then I'm going to know that God is with me, right within me. And I begin to turn my focus and attention inward, knowing that the great, expansive, almighty lives within me, because even the Christ tells us, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And a kingdom, kingdom is the domain of the king. So anywhere there is a kingdom, the domain of the king resides. So that let me know that Christ, God, was within me. And when I begin to pray that way, I noticed two things. I noticed number one, first of all, I told myself, stop begging. Beloved, you don't have to beg and plead. For those of you that have children or grandchildren or anybody that you love, none of them have to get on their knees and beg you for something that you know they need. And if you really love them and if you're really looking out for them, you know what they need before they even open their mouths. So why is it that when we come to petition God, we feel like we have to beg, we have to plead, and we're down on the floor and we're snotting and we're crying, and we go through that week after week? For those of us that used to gather for weekly prayer, most churches don't even have weekly prayer. We've had countless all-night prayer, shut-in sessions, and we were just all down just crying and begging and pleading. Why? Because we were feeling the pain of our circumstances. I want you to hear this very, very well. Not realizing that when we were praying like that, we were not praying in faith. We operated in the law of the spiritual law of attraction, and what we were doing was creating more of that, because that's where we were focused. We were focused on our hard times, our troubles, our trials, the pain of it. And when you pulled that emotion in with that prayer and started boo-hooing and crying, and you began to feel that, what you were telling the divine laws that God put in the universe, I want more of that. And then we wondered why it took so long for prayers to be answered, and why when we got a breakthrough, when we looked around, we were right back. It's because we kept looking at what we didn't want. And that is not the way that Christ even instructs us to pray. The scriptures tell you, first of all, be anxious for nothing. You cannot come with anxiety, with worry, with stress, with despair and grief and heaviness. He says, be anxious for nothing. But in all things, he says, with thanksgiving, right? Let your request be made known. So what you're requesting is not what you're going through, not what you're dealing with. What you are requesting is the desired outcome. But many times, I want you to hear this very well, because it took a long time for us to break out of this and to see this, that we were activating laws that could not help but operate because you activated, you called it. So the next time you go to petition, you got to remember that whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you have them, that's not focusing on the problem. Many times when you go to pray, all you talk about is what's wrong. And then we cry about it and we feel badly about it, right? The scriptures tell us he knows what you need before you even ask. So we need to go in rejoicing now, knowing that we're focusing on where it is we're going. So two things I noticed is that I used to beg and plead and cry. But once I started tapping inwardly and knowing that God was with me, knowing that all things are working together, fitting into a plan, and if I ask, it's given, my prayer language changed, where all I did now was look at where I wanted to go. Look at what I wanted to see happen. Not crying about the pain of where I am. And that is the big chasm. That is the big divide. That's the abyss that many have been stuck in and is still stuck in. That abyss of focusing on what's not happening, what's not working, and crying and feeling bad about where you are and what's happening. And as long as you stay there, you're going to keep creating that. So it takes practice, it takes energy, it takes focus. And so where I want to land today, as we begin to pull this together, is that we have to practice every day living differently in terms of what we're looking at, what we're focused on, what we're feeling, the way that we pray, the way that we petition. You know, in the school of prophetic prayer, I think I talk about 35 different ways to pray, and there are many more than that. And we did not pray so precisely, but if you just take this one thing that I'm saying today, you're going to see a difference, and you're going to see your prayers begin to manifest. You're going to see that you're going to begin to manifest your desires more quickly than ever before, because you're going to shift, first of all, from thinking God is so far away from you. He's right in you. If we're going to believe the word, let's believe it. And you can't be so scary. You can't be so afraid, you know, of every little thing. See, that's that old mindset of containment that another spirit put on us, that we would be contained in this small little bubble, that we would stay in our churches and we would come and get an emotional release. I want you to follow me now. You would get what my old bishop in Brooklyn used to call the gospel. Not the gospel, but the gospel, that we would take our feel-good pill for the day. And we would get an emotional release. And I'm not speaking against that, because there are many people that would not be sane today if they didn't come and get that emotional release, because they were being so pressured by their environment and their circumstance that they had to go and get that pressure off of them. So I'm not speaking against that. That was good for what it did. But we need to go beyond that, to just come and get that emotional release. And nobody loved to dance and shout as much as I did back in the day. And like I said, we're thankful for that, because it did what it needed to do. But we were confined there, and we stayed there, and we were not engaged with the world because we misunderstood scripture. And we did not interact with the world, and we were afraid to go out into the world, and we kept our lives confined to going to work, coming home, and going to church. Every now and then we would get together and have a baby shower, have a wedding, and you know, the funerals or whatever. And church was designed back in the day, I'm going back now, church was designed to keep us busy. You all guys know it. Some of you are still in a place where you're going to church 2, 3, 4 times a week. I spent a year, my very early, early Christian experience, where I went to church 7 days a week. And in the 7 days a week, we had service every day. It wasn't Tuesday Bible study, Wednesday the youth meeting, Friday choir. But no, every night was like Sunday service. I stayed in a ministry like that for 1 year. That's where I picked up and I got my deposit for consecration, for fasting and praying. But there was error there, beloved. It was error, because in that culture and in that environment, all we talked about was not being worldly. We had nothing to do with the world. That was error. We didn't watch television. We didn't listen to the radio. You know, we didn't go. And one day I remember a group of us, I was young, like 16 years old. We asked if we can go to the botanical garden. And they told us, no, we couldn't go because that was worldly. What in the world was worldly about God's creation in nature? So to just let you know how small an environment like that was. And I remember I was in high school and I was in the 11th grade and I was getting ready to go into my senior year. And this is when I started looking around saying, I don't think so. And they were asking me, why was I going to go back to school? And I was like, this is my senior year. It's time to graduate. Not only that, I wanted to go to college as well. And the girls in that ministry, they were marrying very young and marrying older. It was just really cult-like, you know. But the good thing I got, like I said, I got my deposit for fasting and praying and consecration. And after about a year, I realized I could not stay in an environment like that. It was too limited. But think of how many people live their lives in such a limited way. So if this resonates with you at all today, I would encourage you to start, take a good deep breath and allow your life to expand. Allow your worldview to expand. And let's not live so small and so hidden and so ashamed. So number one, we want to begin to stretch out and lengthen our cords. It's going to start with how you're thinking, how you're feeling, what you're seeing, how you're positioning yourself, knowing you are here with purpose. You're here to have an impact. Let's command some more attention, right? Number two, do not be afraid to express who you are. I want you to think about everybody in this world that's out there expressing themselves. They are as different as night and day, but they're doing their thing. Look at our president that we have right now in the United States. Everybody is doing their thing. I want you not to be afraid to do your thing. So I want us to make an agreement today in this community that we're going to support and encourage each other. Go do your thing. Go do you. Go do you. Everyone else is out there doing them. And they're not worried about what anyone else thinks. So we have to get out of that. I have to get out of that even more. Let's be who we are here to be. If we're saying we have the power, we have the authority, we have the insight, we have the wisdom, but we're somewhere in the corner, just seeing the same 100 people or 50 people week after week after week, something's wrong there. No, we're getting ready to lengthen our cords. Number three, we're going to be wise and discerning. We're going to discern the time, and we're going to know what it is that we ought to do in this season. And we're going to move out and we're going to do it. So your assignment for this week, I want you to pay attention to how you pray. I want you to pay attention if you're begging, if you're pleading, you know, if you are, you know, crying because of the pain in your life, because of how long it's been and this thing is still there. If you are focused there, I want you to stop. Because you're only creating more of that. And when you understand the power that has been given to you already, and you're not waiting for God to make a decision or a determination, according to the same Bible, that book of principles of spiritual law that you read and you say you believe in, he said, ask and it's given. In other words, every time we ask, we receive. When we seek, we find. When we knock, it's open. So I want you to think less about this big God figure sitting on a throne that you have to beg and plead to, because that's not the God we serve. And I want you to understand that God is so close, he's right in you. And if you are good enough for God to live in you and you say that God live in you, then let's have more faith in who we are. And in the power that has been granted to us. For everyone that asks, receive. Everyone that seeks, find. Everyone knocks, the door shall be open. So you say, why am I not receiving? You're not allowing yourself to receive because according to the divine law, spiritual law, that says wherever your energy and your attention goes, you're going to create that. That's the way God created us. And so we're moving now into a greater realm of awakening. We are ascending to a higher level of consciousness in this season because we know who we are now. We understand that we are anointed. We have the anointing within us, right? And that we could call things that be not as though they were. We can create out of nothing the same way our Father did. We can create, and you don't have to beg, and you don't have to plead, and you don't have to cry. So the next time you go to prayer and you just feel like you just want to break down and cry about the problem, don't. When you feel yourself going that way, stop yourself and begin to speak about what it is you desire and call those things that be not as though they were. And we're going to practice this so much more. So let's take a good healing deep breath in. And on the exhale, Father, we're so thankful and grateful for our time together, for what you have released and deposited. We thank you that we are shifting our worldview. We are ready for expansion. We are ready to increase who we are. We're ready to lengthen our cord. We're ready to dig our stakes in and stake our claim today, knowing that we can be bigger, we can be greater, we can have more of an impact in this world because we are here with purpose and we're moving in purpose. All right, beloved, that's our time for today. I want to encourage each and every one of you to go out and just have a bigger impact. Don't be afraid to do you and to be yourself. We're going to ask you to go to our website, ElonaSanders.com. Sow your seed this week. Be a blessing to the ministry so that we can continue to do this and bring this to you each and every week. And don't forget to tell others that we are here. Before you come on a Sunday morning, just go to your social media page, post or repost the announcement, bring others into the sacred community so that they too can get what you all are getting. All right, I'm going to release you with many blessings for the rest of your day and your week, and I'll greet you right back here in this global empowerment community next Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Bye now. It has been my divine pleasure to serve you today. Remember, information without implementation will not yield a fruitful harvest. Please continue to connect with me on social media, Facebook at Elona Sanders. You can visit my website at ElonaSanders.com for more resources, masterclass, workshops, or upcoming events. Please send me your thoughts, questions, comments, or feedback to es@ElonaSanders.com. Until next time, continue to move in purpose, on purpose, and be blessed. Bye now.